Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're here. You're here. So let's have some fun answering your listener questions, including a great question from Erica up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Go Pack Go. Asking about the logistics of landing at Orlando International Airport and getting to the Christmas party in time. Is it too risky? Are they going to make it? Hear our thoughts and more coming up on today's show. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, we're down to 63 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2019. That's right. Wine and Dine Race Weekend is now in the rearview mirror. Great job to all the lizards who were down there running and walking and having a great time eating cupcakes. I see you, Brad, over the Wine and Dine Race Weekend. But Marathon Weekend is up next. 48.6 magical miles on the horizon. I can't wait. 63 days to go. I get excited every time I post to social media, get a phone call, place a text message, because I look down at my iPhone XS Max and I can see this app right there staring back at me. I'm looking at a picture of Big Thunder Mountain right now, 63 days to go. You can do the same. Check out these and other great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. It's getting to be crunch time. Amazon's up in the stakes, free shipping all through the holiday season. You know what that means. Please support the Be Our Guest podcast anytime you purchase through Amazon. Just use our Amazon affiliate link. Bookmark it on all your devices. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. It really, really helps support the show. And this holiday season, we can really kind of, build up some credits there that'll support the show through the coming months in 2019. And we appreciate that so very much. So please continue to use our Amazon affiliate link. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1404 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope that your week is chugging right along here in November. And I'm just excited today because we're all three here for the first time in about a month or so. And it's always fun to have, you know, the team back together. We've been traveling. Well, I haven't been traveling. I've been stuck here in St. Louis, but well, I guess I went to Alabama, but I don't have missed the show. But yeah, we had folks in Alani, Pam was in Disneyland, Ricky went down to Universal and Walt Disney World, and more traveling coming up, but we're going to have shows for you here. So stay tuned for that. We're answering your listener questions. It is a Wednesday, so we're going to get right to that. But first of all, joining us, the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, what's going on?
Wow, I got introduced first today.
I know. I switched it up. I can see if you're ready.
Woo! So happy Wednesday, everyone. I'm glad that all three of us are here. I think that's when our shows are the best. I just, for some reason, it works.
It does. It kind of does. Someday.
I don't know. She wasn't here for one of the most requested shows, which is the chainsaw show.
So rawr!
Just saying.
I know. That show is so fun. I can't wait to do that one again someday. Who knows? So, Pam, how's Pittsburgh? How's life here? Pre-Thanksgiving sneaking up on us real quick.
All good. All good. Just, lots of good stuff happening. I did mention this, but I'll be heading out next week to do a Royal Caribbean thing.
Of course. Yes.
The Symphony of the Seas, of course, is coming over from Europe, and they're calling it the inaugural cruise here in America. So I get the opportunity to go ahead and check that out. Going to go do that. It looks like a beautiful ship. I've been seeing different people post things about it. I don't know if y'all have seen it, but just so much I like about that class. It's, of course, the Symphony is the largest.
Say, what, the class would be biggest in the world.
Big as can be. It is a sister ship, of course, to the Harmony, which I had the chance to sail on as well. So really looking forward to that. can't wait to see it. You know, of course, we love Disney, but I think Royal Caribbean has a great cruise product out there, too. So lots of, you know what? There's no shortage of travel opportunities, let's just say.
And there's no shortage of cruise ships nowadays.
No shortage. There's a cruise ship for everyone. If you can't find a cruise ship that you like, well, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, for real. I know. All right. Also joining us, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, which you need to check out for all the great holiday stuff that's coming up right away. It's all there. It's your Holiday Central. What's up, Ricky?
That's right. We've been working very hard on making sure that we are ready to go now that the holiday season is officially here. I think it kicks off tomorrow at Walt Disney World. So, you know, that's awesome. And, so if you've got a trip headed down to Walt Disney World or Disneyland or Universal, make sure you hit The Mouse for Less to find out what you need to know about celebrating the holidays at these places. 'Cause we've got it all for you.
All righty. Well, let's get to the questions. First question of the day. We're heading up to Green Bay, Wisconsin with Erica's question. Hi, BOG. I'm emailing from Green Bay, Wisconsin, 488.6 miles from Mike and Ricky. Well, you're not here anymore, but 667 from Pam. But more importantly, 1374 from MCO. We are flying into MCO on December 9th and have tickets to the Christmas party that night. Yes, I know this is risky. Wisconsin weather plus airplanes equals question mark. But that's what we have to work with. We land at 1:30 and want to enjoy as much party time as possible. Are we better off Ubering from MCO to Coronado Springs with our bags? Or will Magical Express get us there in plenty of time to get to the party early? Any other tips for us? I've been listening to the show religiously since I started planning our first Walt Disney World trip over 2 years ago, and I loved every episode. Thank you for your hard work. Erica, who's in the chat right now, and she didn't have to retype her question, so we got to it. So there we go.
We saved you typing.
That's it. Now, actually, I picked this one out as the ad read at the top. It's weird how that happens. I had no idea. But so I'm letting Pam take this one because you are like, this is kind of like a cruise scenario, not as extreme because the boat will leave you behind. So will the party, but a cruise is more expensive than a Christmas party. So, Pam, what do you say? They're landing at 1:30. They need to know how to get there. Uber, Magical Express, what would you do?
So you'll be able to get into the party at 4 o'clock, and that means you'll want to be at the Magic Kingdom a little before four. They will then have lines out front that are for party guests, and they'll be giving you your wristband for the party right then. So to maximize that time, I probably would think about Ubering or doing some private transportation. Not that I don't think that you'll have time. I think 1:30, I think you'll probably be there at 3 and then, you know, to check in and get your stuff and drop your bags off. I just think I feel a little safer by doing that, to just Ubering or getting private transportation to Coronado Springs. And then once you're there, you can assess if you can take Disney transportation, or again, you need to look at something like a minivan or something like that to get you over to the Magic Kingdom. If you do have a little bit of extra time, go ahead and take transportation over to the Magic Kingdom, and you could do a monorail loop real quick. Like if you only have a little bit of time, you can do a monorail loop that and just go through the resorts. If you have time to get off and stop and see maybe one or two of them at one of the monorail resorts, that would be worth doing too. So that's what I would do, just because I'm one of those people that, like, if I'm cutting it close, it's making me nervous. And I think that the private transportation will give you just a little bit of padding.
I'm the same way. I think Magical Express will get you there by the 4 o'clock party, but you're going to be sweating it out a little bit more because you have less control over your situation. If you take an Uber, it's less convenient because you got to handle your bags. But you are going to say, I would say you would shave 30 to 45 minutes total in the process. That's it. Ricky, anything else on that?
No, I think that's about right. You'll definitely save some time by taking the Uber for sure. But yeah, just know you will have to get your bags. So count that time and the time you would be saving a little bit too. So yeah, I think 30 to 45 minutes is probably a good estimate.
All right. Shelby's got a question here in the chat. So let's get to this. She says, I have a question, this or that question for you. I make my ADRs tomorrow for my honeymoon in May, and we need help. Cinderella's Roll Table for lunch or dinner, and Be Our Guest lunch or dinner. Thanks, y'all. All right. So, Ricky, how about that? So I'll give you CRT. So you're going to do that for lunch or for dinner? Lunch is a little bit less expensive, but kind of the same experience both ways, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, since it is their honeymoon, I think that I would do dinner at Cinderella's Royal Table, just so that they have like a romantic dinner meal there. I think that that's a good choice.
All right, Pam, what about Be Our Guest lunch or dinner for the other option?
I'm going Be Our Guest for dinner. I think the new prefix menu is getting fairly decent reviews. People seem to like it. They like the food. I think right now it's not a bad price at all when you're looking at a prefix menu that includes appetizer, entrees, and dessert. So I think that that is, I'd do it for that too. And I think that it just lends itself to, again, like Ricky was saying, a romantic meal. Lunch is not really as much so. It's a little, I don't want to say frenetic because whatever, but it can be, you know, there's a lot of noise going on and it just seems to get loud for lunch there. And I think it's a little quieter at dinner.
All right. Next question's coming from Pam from Bayou Labatre, Alabama. She says, Roll Tide. Title of the email. I know, like that. Wasn't that mentioned in Forrest Gump, that city? Bayou Labatre? There's something similar to that in Forrest Gump, and he was in Alabama.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
I think maybe that's where his buddy was from that was in the army with him. Maybe.
That could be.
I'll have to look that up. I love Forrest Gump. Well, you guys probably think I'm Forrest Gump because I get up every morning and run like an extreme amount of miles. And one of these days, I'm just going to have like a long beard and I'm just going to be like, I'm done running. That's it. I'm done. I'm hanging him up. I've thought about that.
I'm going to go on Castaway and, you know.
Yeah. I've never seen that movie. I heard it was really, really sad. So I don't like sad movies. Anyway, so yeah, but that'll be me. I'll have a long beard and one day I'm just gonna be done with running and I'll never run again. So when you run, you have lots of time to think about things like that. I'm like, am I Forrest Gump? Maybe I am. I'm, you know, yes sir, yes sergeant. And I've never put together a gun, so I don't know. Anyway,
Todd says that's where Bubba was from.
That's Bubba. Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking.
Bubba's his friend, yeah.
Bayou Labatre, Alabama. So there we go. Roll Tide. And they just destroyed LSU. Sorry. Okay, the title anyway is Driving 2 Hours to Sit in the Grand Floridian Lobby, Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I love your show and listen on my drive to work. Remember, 10 and 2. My husband, 3 boys, and I'll be in Gainesville, November 18th to the 19th. Let me tell you a little bit something about Gainesville. Mizzou just went in and owned that town this past Saturday. Anyway, at homecoming, anyway. Since we'll only be 2 hours away, we're thinking about driving down to Walt Disney World to see some of the Christmas decorations, but we'll not be going into the parks. You know, you are those crazy Disney people when you're willing to drive an extra 4 hours to sit in a hotel lobby just so you can smell the gingerbread and hear the piano. Will the resort gingerbread displays and Christmas trees be out that soon? Also, what restaurant would you suggest for dinner for 7, 3, and 1-year-old boys for a last-minute ADR? Thanks, Pam. First of all, while you're down there, if you, and I'm totally cool with this, what's 4 hours? It's Christmas, you're going to Walt Disney World. Even if you're not going to the parks, it's awesome. If you could get one, Whispering Canyon, because you're going to get to see that at Christmas, and it'll be awesome. And it's fun for that age kids. Lots going on, loud, good food. That's what I would do. But, Pam, what do you say? Well, let me ask Ricky first, because she's probably got the dates. Will the trees be up on the 18th or the 19th of November? And the gingerbread house won't be done. Will it be started? You got to put it. Let's go. What is it going to be done?
I think it won't go up until Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving. So, I think that that's the case. The trees definitely, I don't think, go up till after Thanksgiving. And the gingerbread house, I don't think, will be up either. Sorry.
Yeah, but you can still go and have fun.
But if they're going just to see the Christmas decorations, I don't think it's going to be up.
So. Let's see. I'm trying to think what you could see Christmas Eve without going to the parks.
They do have the, I take that back. They do have the display at the Contemporary right now. It's the gingerbread display with Cinderella and Prince Charming and the Fairy Godmother, who's new this year.
You could
They do have that up. Yeah. So you can go there.
And you could also see the Christmas tree outside of the studios. That's not inside the, well, I mean, the one that's out kind of outside the gates.
Yeah, that moved inside.
They don't have that big one outside anymore?
No, what? They moved it into the lake.
I know, but I thought they had both. Do they not?
I don't think
I thought they did. No. I thought I got my picture taken with that when I was running. Huh. Oh, well.
Maybe
sorry.
Not. So maybe that was the year before.
Yeah, maybe it was. They all blend together at this point. So, Pam, what would you say? I mean, driving down from Gainesville, I mean, if they want to do it, give them an ADR, something to think about. It'd be a 7, 3, and 1.
I thought Whispering Canyon was a good suggestion because I think one of the places I typically do want to see is the Wilderness Lodge, but we don't have definites on whether that will be there or not. So I would just pick, like, whatever your favorite resort is, just go and see it. For me, spending time in a resort, I mean, is part of the Disney experience. It's quintessential Disney.
Yes.
And what seems like something that's fun for you? I think that the most themed resorts on Disney property are Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge. And so if I couldn't get a reservation at Wilderness Lodge, I would try for Animal Kingdom Lodge, which also looks spectacular at the holidays if they happen to have the stuff, you know, the decor up, and also has a great, you know, great restaurants and great activities around the resort, too. You can go and see the animals and stuff like that. So that would give you lots of things to do.
Agreed.
I'm gonna suggest too, if you really want to know, follow along on social media, especially like Twitter. Everybody posts about the holiday when the holiday decorations go up. So that's kind of what I would suggest, is kind of follow along on Twitter if you can.
You will know when an ornament moves on social media.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, and also Brian says that one of his vloggers he used to watch from New Zealand talked about us. How's that?
Cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thanks, Brian.
Yes.
Let's see here. One other thing. Oh, Natalie's got a question. I have a Run Disney question. I'm flying in on Saturday, February 23rd, and then heading to ESPN for packet pickup. Will all the good merchandise be gone when I get there? I've heard there isn't much left towards the end of the expo. Okay, so the first things that usually disappear at the expos, and I'm sporting my Run Disney hoodie today because it's freezing, is usually the pins go first, as I can recall, like the specialty type pins and anything that's that's Princess Weekend. And I know that they tend to actually, I think the expo at Princess Weekend is more intense than even like Marathon. I don't know if they don't make as much stuff, or maybe those folks are more apt to buy those things. I don't know. But if you're coming in on Saturday and you're getting there in the afternoon, yeah, I mean, some of that stuff, I will be honest, some of that stuff will be gone. I mean, it's going to be picked over, but Disney's, they make a lot of the stuff because the extras end up at the outlet malls, you know, a little bit later for like half price or 75% of what
less,
you paid
yeah.
off. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, I paid $80 for that jacket. Now it's 22. You know, it's like, oh, killing me. But it's like, wish I lived in Orlando. Just got to get somebody to go over to the outlet. But I would say,
I tried to bribe my brother. They had the Haunted Mansion dress, and I tried to bribe him to go over there and get that for me, but no dice.
But yeah, it's going to be a little picked over, but there will be stuff to buy. And as long as you're flexible, you'll find something. Another ADR question live at the chat. I have ADRs for both California Grill for brunch and dinner. It's just me and my daughter for her 13th birthday. Which one would we do? Which one should we do? I'm terrible today. Brunch or dinner, fam? This is your restaurant. Brunch or dinner for a mom and her 13-year-old daughter? What do you say for Janelle?
So this is a tough one because I think that the California Grill brunch is fantastic. But I think for a 13-year-old girl, the experience at night might be just a little more exciting because you'll get to see the Magic Kingdom lit up at night. You can watch the fireworks if you can time it around then. And I think that's always really interesting. I think the menu is very varied at dinner as well. There's lots of things from which to choose. I think that you'll absolutely find it. Now, for adults, I think that the brunch is a better option. And one of the reasons why is that alcohol is included. And I think that that sort of makes that a better deal, right, in terms of that, because you can do that. So if it was for two adults, I'd say that. But I think a 13-year-old really appreciates what California Grill has to offer at night. That location's spectacular. The views are expansive. And it's just a really cool experience.
All right, let's get to the next question. It's from Shannon. She says, my husband and I are going on our first Disney World trip without the kids. We're going for the 2019 Food and Wine Festival in September of 2019. We're staying at the Yacht Club for ease of access into Epcot. We would like to have a date night type meal at the Animal Kingdom Lodge because we've heard so much about it. Which restaurant in the lodge would you recommend and why? Thanks for all you do. All right, Ricky. So you get a date night. You guys do this all the time. You guys go out to dinner. You shoot some senior pictures.
Yes, you know, of course.
Crazy stuff like that. They're probably not going to do the senior pictures, but they want a date night during Food and Wine over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So you got three choices, Boma, Jiko, or Sanaa. Which one are you picking?
If I only have to choose one, oh, man. Okay.
It's tough.
It is tough. I do love Sanaa. I think that you can't go wrong with bread service. The butter chicken is so delicious. It's just so good. But I feel like Jiko maybe a little bit datier, if that makes sense. I feel like that's more of a date experience. If you're looking to like have a really romantic meal, but I really, really love Sanaa. So that's my choice.
I think Sanaa is like a solid, like it's of the three restaurants. That's kind of like my utility baseball player. Like you just can't go wrong.
Right.
I mean, a meal at Sanaa is going to be solid because you get a view, you get good food, you got lots of good apps, good entrees. But for me, after being there, Jiko is my date night place because it's fancy, but comfortable and really nice food. Spam, what do you say?
Yeah, I'd say Jiko as well. I mean, I think the food is just so good there. Lots of things from which to choose. Again, I feel like it's more of a date night type restaurant.
Yeah,
The atmosphere sort of lends itself to that. As you watch, it really is supposed to mimic the sunset on the savannah. And there are birds that fly. Actually, the lighting adjusts itself at different times throughout the night. So I think that Jiko is just a great all-around experience and would never pass down an opportunity to eat there.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're just super starving, Boma, just eat till you die.
Is not as romantic, I don't think.
Who cares? So. It depends how hungry you are. Romance is overrated. You know what? Go get your Boma coma going. You know, get it going.
Hashtag
right.
Boma coma.
That's it. Freaking magical. All right, the next email, just help. That's just the title. So,
what?
I don't know if this person's drowning or if they got a flat tire out on 370. I don't know. So let's
see. We're not going to be good at either of those.
I know, me neither.
Exactly.
Call AAA. Anthony's up. Hey, Mike and ladies, my wife, 2.5-year-old daughter, and I are looking at going to Disney World in late January or early February. My parents are wanting to go as well, and we're looking at 4 adults and 1 kid. Here's where we're stuck. We're planning on 2 rooms at Pop Century, with the grandparents having their own room and my wife and I in a room with our daughter. My wife and I are pass holders, and the special rate for rooms just came out today. This has thrown a wrench into everything as we are now looking at these options and need help on what you guys would do. So he's got 4 options. So here we go. Focus. 2 rooms at Caribbean Beach. 2 rooms at Coronado Springs. A Finding Nemo suite at Art of Animation, or the 2 rooms at Pop. My wife and I took our daughter last July and loved Pop Century, and the bus transportation there was excellent. It seems similar at Art of Animation, so that's a big plus. We think having 2 bathrooms to get ready in the morning is a must, so we don't want to share a room at Coronado or Caribbean Beach. Also, the construction and bus transportation at these 2 resorts makes me nervous. Is this something to worry about? What do you guys think is the best option for our trip? Thanks for everything you guys do. Anthony's in Evansville, Indiana. So again, 4 adults, you got the grandparents, kind of like, you know, ideally in 1 room and the 2 adults and the 1 kid in the other, unless you go with a suite. So again, 2 rooms at Caribbean Beach, 2 at Coronado, a Finding Nemo suite, or 2 rooms at Pop. Ricky, out of those 4, what do you think is going to work out best?
Goodness. I'm kind of leaning between the Pop rooms just because of the ease of the transportation. But then I'm also leaning towards Caribbean Beach because I was just there and I got to see the brand new lobby, the brand new restaurants that they have, and they are nice. So, it kind of depends on if you're planning on having it be a trip where you're just in the hotel to kind of sleep and stuff like that, then I would say Pop. But if you are more there to kind of enjoy the hotel and the amenities and stuff like that, I would maybe go with Caribbean Beach right now.
Yeah,
I can't believe I'm saying those words. Oh my goodness, we're back to having Caribbean Beach be nice again.
It is. I know, it's funny because, you know, as we've done this show now for over a decade, which is crazy, you know, we've seen the ebbs and the flows of almost every resort. I mean, Pop Century didn't have, or Art of Animation didn't exist. You know, we were like, oh, maybe Pop Century will get finished over there. And Caribbean Beach, you know, has gone through its cycle. It's trending up. Coronado Springs has this gigantic tower here very soon. You know, here's what I think in a situation like this. I just want to give a generality and let you pick from there. I think the 2 rooms is a good idea over the suite when you're traveling with grandparents, because grandparents want to be with the grandkid, and that's awesome, but I think it's great to everybody to have their own room. Even if they're connecting or joining and close the door, with a suite, you're going to have a lot of space. You're going to have, you know, the options there, but you're still all together more than 2 rooms. With Coronado, I like Coronado. It's a very adult-type place to stay for very... very reasonable amount of money with the moderate resort there. I'm a fan of Coronado. The bus service it's adequate there. It's not, I think Pop Century, I think the value resorts have the best bus service. then the moderates, then deluxes. But I wouldn't worry about it because Coronado Springs is kind of in that central location where you're close to everything at Coronado. So you kind of make up for it there. You just got to be strategic on the bus stop you might want to go to. Just kind of see how the buses are running while you're there. But if it was me, I'd go two at Coronado. But Caribbean Beach is kind of the same thing. Six and one, half dozen in the other. Pam, what do you say?
I think I would go for two rooms at either Coronado or Caribbean Beach. I think it's going to offer you the most options in terms of dining, in terms of amenities at the resort, in terms of space. Mike, like you mentioned, the the suites at Art of Animation are great, but it's not like people actually have two distinct areas where they can go. There's, the master bedroom, of course, you can close the door, and it's more ideal for a family with a lot of kids than it is for two adult parties. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
yep.
I would really lean towards Caribbean Beach or Coronado because I just think you're going to have a better overall experience there. With the new dining available at Caribbean Beach, that's looking fantastic. The resort construction issues are wrapping up. And Coronado has some great new options too. So two great choices there. I don't think you can go wrong.
I think the suites are awesome for like a big family that's used to always being together, like a nuclear family, like a family with like two parents or like one parent and four kids, or, two parents, two kids, three kids, what have you, that, it's like you're going to be in the same room anyway for the most part, typically. But I think with grandparents who aren't used to being 24/7, like, together, I think it's more of a challenge. I mean, it could be fine, but it's just something to think about.
On day two, grandma might be like,
I want to go to my room. I just want to go to my room. Okay, next.
Where's the door? Where can I close the door?
I know. All right, next question is from Nina. She says, hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Firstly, thanks for the great podcast. I love the banter between you all. Y'all, she actually says. I'm planning my fourth birthday trip to Disney World for the first week of December 2019 for my 30th birthday. However, I do have some birthday planning blues / confusion. I'm hoping to attend the Christmas party one night and wanted to know the difference between Christmas wishes and happily ever after. Would it still be worth booking a dessert party on another night to ensure a great viewing spot for happily ever after? We are only a party of two, but it's still a lot of money to do both. Secondly, I have a thought about setting myself a challenge while at the parks to eat in every ice cream store in the park, not the carts with Mickey bars, and potentially all of property. Do you know if there's somewhere with a comprehensive list of all ice cream stores, such as Main Street, Ample Hills, Beaches, my mouth's watering, Beaches and Cream, etc.? Or will I need to build my own list? Finally, what is the best vegetarian meals in the parks or resorts? Wait, vegetarians can eat all this ice cream? I might have to turn into vegetarian. No, because I go to Texas Roadhouse too much. Let's see. I love
Likes Taco Bell.
I don't think that is. I don't think that's vegan, vegetarian, anything. I don't even know if it's real food, but I don't care. It tastes good. She says, I love the tofu bowl at Pandora, but wanted your opinion on some other delicious options. All the best. Nina is, I don't know where she's from, but she's 9,483 miles from me and 10,040 from Pam and 9,600 from Ricky. So I guess she's from far away. That would be not be in the continent. So okay. So yeah, it's very far. It's scary that people know like how many miles like point something they are from my house. Like that makes me slightly worried, but pretty cool.
Mike, maybe you should share your location all the time.
I know. Yeah. I overshare. If I get egged, I get egged. Okay, so let's tackle this. She had three basic questions. Ricky, let's go with this. She's wanting to know. She wants to go to the Christmas party, so she's gonna see holiday wishes. But apparently she's coming from very far away. So
I would assume so.
I would say make sure you see both, and I would go with the dessert party. You're there. It's not that much. Considering the overall price of vacation, not that much more for a very VIP-feeling experience.
Yeah, although from the question, I was wondering if she was wanting to go to the dessert party on both nights. So that was kind of my concern. So I would go at least on one of the nights if that was the part of the question, was if she should go on both. And I would, if I was picking one, I'd probably pick the happily ever after night. Just because I think you can, with the parties, I feel like they sell out, but I still don't feel it's as crowded as it might be on a regular Magic Kingdom night. So that's what I think.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's good stuff. All right, yeah. Second.
But do both fireworks shows for sure. Make sure you see them both. They're both very different, so make sure you see them both.
So let me ask you this, Ricky, too, because she's asking for like a comprehensive list of every ice cream place Is that something that we have on the Mouse for Less, or is there somewhere maybe to go look for, like, within each park? And then, like, overall, I mean, she's got a good start there, but I mean, there has to be some places that are kind of off the radar.
I've written an article about the best ice cream place. Like, I've written an article about it, but not like a comprehensive article about it. So maybe if I did, it definitely needs to be updated by now. So I'm thinking I have an idea of something I need to write.
I'm thinking that'll be out next week.
Otherwise, check out the menus on the Mouse for Less. If it's an ice cream place, you'll probably be able to figure it out by the name. There's like a ton of, you know, which park doesn't really have much of an ice cream place, although maybe they do it as Animal Kingdom. There's not like a traditional ice cream place. There's maybe like a little kiosk.
I don't think there is. Is there? I mean, because like you can get frozen lemonade, but I'm trying to think where you would get ice cream.
Is
it Trilobites? Is that? But I don't think they have ice cream anymore. I think that they have like French fries.
There's with like a stand. There's like it is a stand, like an actual building on the way to on the right. I think you're going to Asia, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. There's an ice cream. Like a specific ice cream place. If there is one, somebody's got to tell me because I'm blanking on it. But I know Hollywood Studios has at least one. There's that Hollywood Scoops at the end of by kind of near Tower of Terror, and then Epcot.
Yeah, lots of options. You got like France.
Yeah, Epcot. There's the France is my favorite.
You got Italy with the gelatos.
There's a lot of gelatos.
You could also, like when she's talking about the Epcot boardwalk or the boardwalk.
You got Ample Hills, you got Peaches and Cream. There's two right there.
You also have the fountain over at the Dolphin.
Oh, yeah, there's that. That's good. In Disney Springs, we got Ghirardelli.
Oh, so. you're, man, this is living. I'm saying, man, you might not make 31, but you'll be happy. I'm just saying. No, she's eating vegetarian. She's good. Last question,
these
though.
These are the comprehensive parts in my brain. So these are the ones you definitely want to make sure you stop at. So.
But then you got places in the resorts. Well, I mean, you can get, I guess like Mickey Bar. Well, is there, I'm trying to think of a resort that would have, besides like Boardwalk and Ample Hills.
I think the Boardwalk and the Beach Club are the only two besides.
What about the Grand Floridian? Is there not a place to get ice cream there?
No.
Kind of? No. I guess just Mickey Bars. No.
There's the Dole Whip at the Polynesian, which if you count that as ice cream, it's kind of like, it's not really ice cream, but.
And Epcot's got that crazy standby test track. It's sometimes open, sometimes not. That
sometimes
does ice cream,
has ice
sometimes.
Cream. Sometimes it's it a changes. Food and wine yeah, booth or Epcot, whatever festival is happening at that time. That's sometimes true. That's that kind of.
Yeah.
All right. So, Pam, I know none of us are vegetarian, but she's a fan of the tofu bowl at Pandora. But like, do we have any places to look for vegetarian meals? Best ones in the parks and resorts?
Yeah, there are. I mean, there's some great vegetarian options regardless of where you're dining at. I think most quick service and table service does. But the ones that I think are kind of sort of standout places that you might want to try are, first of all, Boma. Boma has some really interesting choices for vegetarians. So many salads and things like that to think about. Also, Tusker House fits in that same kind of bill, too. Really interesting things. Another sit-down location, The Wave, in the Contemporary. That's a great location, and they have some interesting choices for vegetarians. And also, of course, Sanaa, which we mentioned earlier, has great choices. And for quick service, I'm going to give you Columbia Harbor House has some great choices for vegetarians, including the Lighthouse Sandwich, which is one of my favorites, even though I am not a vegetarian. It has hummus and tomato and broccoli slaw. It's really good. Pecos Bill actually has some nachos. And also like a rice bowl, a veggie rice bowl as well. I think Mexican food sort of lends itself to easily being converted to vegetarian if need be. Sunshine Seasons, I think, is another place that is good. And the Tangerine Cafe in Epcot is something that I would recommend as well. All having good vegetarian options. But there's not going to be a quick service location. I can't think of one that doesn't have a vegetarian option. And if you are somewhere and you don't see one, just ask. The Disney chefs are really, accommodating, and they'll help you work something out.
I mean, Ohana can be. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We do have a blogger on the Mouse for Less. If you look at the Mouse for Less blog, Tim is our blogger who is vegetarian. So he writes articles all the time about dining vegetarian at Walt Disney World. So maybe that will give you some tips on some great places to go as well.
Yep. He was just on the podcast a couple Mondays ago. So go back and listen to
him. I love Tim. He's awesome.
Awesome.
He does a great job. So.
And just think about, I mean, Ohana can give you a great vegetarian experience. I mean, Ohana, think about that. Like meat-centric restaurant in the history of restaurants. And you can have people rave about that place. Is like a great place for vegetarians, which cracks me up. All right, next questions. Help us decide on a resort from Sarah. Hi, y'all. Just wanted to say thank you for what you do and for sharing your love of Walt Disney World with us. Hoping that you can help us make a decision on which resort to stay for our upcoming May 2019 trip. With an offer that we have, Caribbean Beach and Swan and Dolphin are essentially the same price and we can't decide. We are a young couple and like the idea of the proximity to Epcot and Hollywood Studios, but love the convenience of having the dining plan and being able to charge on our Magic Bands. We have also heard that major parts of the construction at Caribbean Beach are through and that the new resort is looking great, but we aren't sure about staying at a resort that is so huge and has an internal bus system. For reference, we've stayed at All Stars, Pop, and French Quarter before. Many pros and cons to each, and we'll keep going back and forth. Please help us decide. Thanks, Sarah. So, Swan and Dolphin versus Caribbean Beach. Pam, give them some pros and cons on to help make a good choice here.
So, I think that, you know, for me, I think a Disney resort is a Disney resort, and you can only stay at a Disney resort on Disney property. I realize that the Swan and Dolphin are on Disney property. They're not really official Disney resorts. They are owned by the Sheraton Westin, which, of course, was purchased recently by Marriott. So keep that in mind. I don't love the Swan and Dolphin. I don't have anything that I don't like about it. It's just that it doesn't feel Disney to me. So I'm going to put that out there. As you mentioned already, you can't get the dining plan. You cannot charge back to your room. You won't get Magic Bands with your stay. You can't get Magical Express as well. And those are all important considerations for most people. I just think that you're going to have a more inclusive experience if you're staying on property. And I think that that's why you might enjoy Caribbean Beach. Plus the fact that Caribbean Beach is looking pretty spiffy right now. And you might want to take advantage of some of those things as well.
I agree. And I think, you know, it is a large resort. I mean, but the thing is that, you know, think about it. How often are you going to have to take an internal bus to get anywhere? Chances are you're going to get a room that's close to somewhere that you need to be. I mean, I wouldn't stress about the size of the resort because most people, especially if you're driving or you rent a car, that's kind of a non-issue for the most part. And you just have lots of great amenities. Ricky, you said you were just there and it's coming around. I mean, it's going to be the place to be here probably in the next 6 months.
It looks very nice. I have to say, I was very impressed by the design of, you know, some of the newer areas, the new food court, the new sit down restaurant, which I dined at, was such Sebastian's Bistro. The new lobby is so fantastic as well. I've said in the past that I felt like Caribbean Beach was very dated, and it has completely 100% turned around in my mind. It is absolutely a beautiful resort now, that main area. Matter of fact, I want to take my mom to the Banana Cabana Bar when they're at Christmas, because I thought it was just fantastic, a great spot to sit out by the water, have a drink, relax a little bit. They have a steel drum band that plays, or at least they were playing when I was there, and I'm a sucker for a steel drum band, so so yeah. And actually on the top of the Banana Cabana Bar, as an art piece, they actually have like old steel drums that are pieced together that are an art piece up there, which I think is really cool. So yeah, I very much liked what I saw with Caribbean Beach so far.
Oof,
so
I think we need to have a meet there at Marathon Weekend for those that are down there. That sounds like a good place to chill, listen to some steel drum music, and get a drink.
It was lovely.
Love it. All right, last question of the day. It's from Karen. Just question for the Wednesday podcast board now, ? She says, you just helped me book my first Disney cruise for March, and I have a couple questions.
Woohoo!
Alrighty, I have a bad knee, so most athletic things are out for me other than flat walking, which I can do. I'm not really a lay on the beach type person either, as I burn too easily. What else is there to do on Castaway Key? I have a feeling I'll get bored quickly that day after much book reading in the shade. Looking forward to the Marvel Day at sea, though. Do they have activities on the ship, too, like trivia, etc., for those who come back to the ship earlier? Karen is up in Michigan. And I know Karen's pumped for this cruise. She's going to have a great time. She booked it because of the Marvel Day at Sea, which is going to be lots of fun. What do you say, Pam, about Castaway Key? If you can't, because for me, what I do is I'm very athletic. I'll go out to Pelican Plunge. I will rent a bicycle. I've done that before. Kind of a mistake. It was super hot in July. We did that 1 year, but it was fun, but it was super hot.
Bad decisions made in January. Yes, yes. And then you get there and you're like, oh, and, this was a terrible idea.
Or
like running the 5K.
Running 5K on the gay or whatever. It's crazy. But what do you say for somebody that you know, doesn't, they're not athletic. They don't want to get out there and really push it. I mean, it sounds like she's not really kind of a chill on the beach type person, which I think that's the best thing to do at Castaway Key. But what do you say?
Yeah, and I think she's a little worried about sunburn. And I just wanted to say that there are some great umbrellas on Castaway Key. They make those available to you. So you'll just have to watch the sun as it moves through the sky there, of course. And you may have to move seats, but there are always plenty of umbrellas there. So that's absolutely something to consider. Another thing I know that a lot of people do is they often have specials for the spa on Castaway Key Day. You can either come back and just do like the rainforest room, or you could look at one of those spa treatments, which I think is awesome. They do still serve lunch on the ship during that time. So do that, or just enjoy having a ship that isn't nearly as busy. I mean, that is really, I think, something that is the true rarity on a Disney cruise, to have a ship that is empty, and enjoy that, because there's just so many little details there, and see, you know, enjoy all of that. So you'll have plenty to do.
That's a great time to kind of chill in the adult pool, because you could be in the shade, still be in the water. Nobody's going to be up there. You know, very few people, like Pam said, take advantage of specials. Now, they will kind of pare down the programming on board, because those cast members are on the island for the most part, a lot of them, at least the servers for the dining. But they will have, like I said, there's some dining on the ship. You can still have lunch, but it's not going to be, you know, they may have a trivia like later in the afternoon, but it's when people start coming. But it won't be like, as many, but you will find like some things, like there probably will be a trivia while it's in port.
They'll definitely have some activities, because I know not everybody is going to get off at Castaway Key. I mean, there are some people that don't. So, you know, for one reason or another. So there definitely will have activities for the whole family to be able to do, or just a single person or whatever. So don't fear about that. They'll have it in the navigator the night before, so you can kind of pick out what activities, that you might want to do, the night before. So that's kind of helpful as well. Also the navigator app will be very helpful as well. I use that a ton while I was on the cruise this last time. I feel like it's really become a very useful tool over the past year. At one point it was, you know, when we first started using the app, I was like, okay, I still can't, you know, the navigator itself is probably still the better option, but the app has definitely come leaps and bounds. It will notify you if you've starred something. Hey, I want to do this activity. It will notify you before the activity happens. You know, so go through and make sure you star things like that. The nice thing was I put my laundry in and it told me when my laundry was done. So that was helpful too. So, the app is definitely a really helpful tool that you can utilize as well. Plus they have the chat feature, which is what I've always used it for. You know, it's definitely come in its own over the past year or so.
All right. And speaking of Castaway Key, don't forget, we're going there twice on the podcast cruise, June 28th, 2019, here next summer. And there's still a few cabins available. So if you want to sail with us, it's going to be a great time. 5-night Bahamian cruise on the Dream. Double dip into Castaway Key. We're going to do some 5Ks. We are going to run. We're crazy because we get medals and raise money for charity. We survive because then you can run right into the ocean. It's pretty sweet. It's kind of like movie or something. But just let me know if you want to get some pricing or, you know, want to sail with us. Tons of fun. So June 28th, 2019, 5-nighter to the Bahamas. 2 stops at Castaway Key. Lots of fun. So let me know about that. But that's going to do it for today's show. That's all the questions we can sneak in. So don't forget, today's episode brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. Ricky, what's in the news this week over on Theme Park News Disney Edition?
So in the news is, guests are soon going to be able to meet both Wreck-It Ralph and Vanellope von Schweetz, starting on November 21st in Epcot. They're actually meeting for a short period of time in Innoventions West. They are not going to be replacing any other characters, so you don't have to worry about that. So Baymax is still going to be meeting, and Joy and Sadness are still meeting, so this is in a different location. But then it looks like they're actually going to move over to the ImageWorks area of the Imagination Pavilion later this winter. So I find that to be very interesting, actually, not going to lie, that they're moving over there. I would figure that they would want to, if they'd already created a place for them at Epcot and Innoventions, they'd just want to keep them there, but clearly they're not. So that's interesting. I wonder if that means anything. You know, just me speculating. But anyway... Now I'm starting rumors. So anyway, you can meet Ralph here and Vanellope here soon because the movie comes out very soon and I'm very excited about it. So,
and you know, I don't like, I'm not a movie person, but I'm pumped for this one. This one is right in my, I loved Wreck-It Ralph, right? Because I mean, I'm like an 80s, you know, kid that grew up with all those video games. This one is going to be awesome. Like I am, every time I see the preview, I'm pumped.
And, you know, you've got all the princesses in their loungewear. So yeah, it's they go to Oh My Disney and, you know. Have fun. So
this is gonna be awesome. I can't wait for this one. I'm really, really excited. And don't forget, you can keep up with all the Disney news. Free iOS app for your Apple device. It looks great on these new iPhone XS Max phones. It's like reading a big old wall or something. It's pretty sweet. So check it out over at virtualmickey.com. Lots of ways you can follow this show and support the show. Don't forget, you can give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Pod and at Be Our Guest Mike. If you want to see Ricky's awesome shirt she had on today that people were asking about in the chat, you can check that out at youtube.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We also have a Twitch channel coming up here in the very future, so we're still working on that. But if you want to give us a follow over there, because I'm sure we'll need to build up some kind of a subscriber base to do cool stuff, we're learning. We're always trying to give you the best experience possible. It's twitch.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Check that out. And of course, the Facebook page is where we do all the live broadcasts on Monday nights. So follow along over there at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right. Anything else? Trying to think, what else am I missing here? Oh, we'd love it if you would subscribe on a podcatcher. Whatever you do, I know that a lot of people listen live or stream, but it really does help support the show when you subscribe and you'll never miss an episode. It's right there as soon as it releases. Boom, it's on your device. So whether it's iTunes or, you know, Podcatcher or I use Pocket Casts, whatever you have, Stitcher, just subscribe to the show. We'd really appreciate that so very much this week. All right, well, we're going to get out of here. We've got a very special show for you on Friday, but unfortunately, we can't tell you. It's top secret, so... You just have to wait. It's pretty awesome, though. I got to tell you, we can't even record this one live. But it's going to be awesome on Friday, so make sure you come back for that. All right, so for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wish you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.